Welcome to another episode of Moon Monkey. On this episode, we discuss Blade Runner 2049, directed by Denis Villeneuve.
So it's set 30 years after the original Blade Runner film, which acquired sort of cult classic status. And this time around, Ryan Gosling is playing the Blade Runner of the title, assigned to hunt down replicants. And early on in the film, he uncovers his mystery, which he has to unravel as the film progresses. So it basically very much follows in the footsteps of the first film, like which had such an iconic look. And this one kind of takes place in the same world.
Yeah,
obviously. But this time around, it also expands the world a lot. In the first one, you were very much just in that city. Whereas this one, I think even the first scene is out in a sort of protein farm.
Yeah, it's actually how they wanted to introduce Deckard in the original Blade Runner. They wanted to have him like a boiling pot and Deckard waiting for somebody to come in. And it's like how they introduced Kay in this one. How they introduced Ryan Gosling's character, which I thought was interesting because it's an idea they had from the first one, how to introduce
Deckard. Yeah, they've carried it across to this one.
They'd used it for Kay. And
but I like the first film being all kind of set in the city. Like, it has a very unique style, which and the whole film is encapsulated. This one, they go to different locations, so it expands the world out.
Yeah, but in a very, really gorgeous kind of way.
The cinematography was fantastic in this film. And I did like that they expanded the world a bit more, because the first one's very much, like, they do a lot of world building in it, but in this one, it sort of goes into more detail. Like, you see certain processes, you kind of see, like, the kind of minor spoilers throughout this, but you kind of see replicants being created, other things that you see, like how the technology works, things like that. It's great to see, like, the spinners back, the guns, like, the style. And I also like the fact that it's set 30 years after the original, and you could kind of see the progress that this world had made, but, as some other people mentioned, like, on the billboards and things, it's all the same companies that were in the original. Like, they haven't added new companies in.
Peugeot.
But that was maybe in the original.
I don't know if it was. But yeah,
it was things like, the first was made in like the 80s.
Yeah, Coca-Cola and Atari. And
yeah, so they haven't got signs for like Facebook and Twitter.
No.
That we have now, because it wouldn't have carried on from the original world.
Yeah.
It's like, all seems to be like, oh, this is just like how you would imagine this world had
Sony.
Developed from
there is a lot more
product placement.
There is a lot more product placement, whereas the first one was kind of maybe critiquing like, that's what will happen with this capitalist monopoly. It's not going to be good for the world. And then it's like, oh, just throw loads in, because like, it's still happening.
Yeah.
Maybe as a good way to make money and make a point.
This film also had a lot of like the critique of different things. I mean, that one of the things that's good about this film is generated a lot of discussion, like the politics of it and the philosophy of it. And I'd say it's not really a major spoiler here, but there's a sort of subplot running through it of like sex and relationships and things like that. So you have Joy, who's an artificial intelligence, who's basically Ryan Gosling's girlfriend in the film, sort of an artificial girlfriend. And she's I'm forgetting what you would call it, but like she's not a physical.
She's a hologram.
Yeah, she's a hologram, but she has, like, artificial intelligence, so she's able to think and she's able to grow. And her story in the movie is basically her going from a kind of created thing into almost a real human with real emotions. Like, she has one of the most emotional journeys through it. But there's also this notion of, like, he sees the giant hologram of her outside, who also talks to him, and it's... Yeah, this weird thing, carrying on from the ideas of the first film of, like, whether people are real or fake, or what makes people human, what makes people replicants or holograms.
It really followed on to, like, a lot of the points about what it is to be human. And also, like, what I liked about it was it followed on from all the, like, the stuff about the ecology. And, like, the cost of what humans have done to the world and the effect of it.
Oh yeah,
with all the pollution and stuff, which was really key to like the look of the first movie, but they even expanded on it with like going to the moisture farm and going to later on where Deckard is.
Yeah, in the first one you had like the acid. The idea in the first one was like the acid rain. That's what was like. That's why it was always raining through the first one. But this one you see like the floodwaters that have risen around the city, and again they expand the world by showing you like how that they've made systems to maintain that. And yeah, the desert sequence, which is used in the promo stuff, where it's like just a sandstorm constantly blowing through, which was really cool. Like we said, the cinematography is fantastic. Yeah, you've got a lot really of good. Work on colours as well, like the red desert, the dark city, like neons and things.
It does look amazing. It is one of the nicest movies I've ever saw. I mean, I really...
Yeah.
It is one visually.
Like, yeah, there are a lot of shots. Like, I'm sure there's going to be an art book out for this film, but there's a lot of shots which are just, like, perfectly framed and perfect images.
As much as, like, the look and the art direction of, like, Blade Runner was in the 80s was so maybe advanced and ahead of its time, like, this is tops it in a lot of ways for me.
Yeah.
Like, the movie doesn't top in every aspect. Like, Blade Runner, like, the original Blade Runner wasn't, like, perfect. Because they did like four different cuts, but it had the same feel and it followed on from it, and for me it was like a perfect sequel to it in a lot of ways, because it had followed on from those points and it still looked as good and it still felt like it was pushing science fiction world building in a way. But the only slight thing was, what I loved about the original Blade Runner was the Vangelis soundtrack. I didn't feel this one was, it had not a little nods to it, which was nice, but I don't feel like it had the same. Because the Vangelis soundtrack was so amazing for me.
Yeah.
As a sci-fi soundtrack, that this one maybe wasn't.
This one was kind of like industrial techno. It was incredibly loud as well.
But it did have the... I know everyone says that. Maybe I'm just going deaf. I'm a fan of really noticed that. But like, it still had little hints to the Vangelis stuff.
Yeah.
Like little nods to certain scenes and certain emotions coming up for characters and things like that.
Yeah, the soundtrack was really well done. Yeah. Again, like the film itself, it sort of had that sense that it was the same world, but like years later, so you still had the memory of that soundtrack. It like playing through the film, you still had hints of like what you'd seen 30 years ago in sort of the film time. While it's like moving on and doing something new with it as well. But yeah, like I did enjoy like all the ideas in the film, like the stuff about slavery in there and using replicants and ideas about like going off world. So in the original, they had like stuff about the off-world colonies, but again, in this, like, they just expand it. I think most people were just really relieved that this film didn't mess it up, because you get so many sequels which are just, like, a cash-in, and it's like they really didn't respect the original. But this, you can tell that they wanted to make something that was equally as good as the original.
And you can tell, like, Denis Villeneuve clearly, like, really loves it and really knows it.
Yeah.
And it's not just, like, because when I first heard, like, there was another Blade Runner, there's been so many reboots and so many, like, refranchising or whatever of movies.
That
and just
terrible.
There's going to be a new Blade Runner. I was like, wasn't really, you were really, really skeptical, and I was kind of like, I'm not bothered because I'm sure it won't be that great.
Yeah.
But like when I actually saw it, it was like a relief.
Yeah.
It was, because like Blade Runner is one of my favorite movies that I've watched it so many. Probably like my second most watched movie, especially like sci-fi wise.
This is like it is a really decent film.
Decent is too harsh.
I have problems with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, most of the problems I have with it. One, something that's like, I really respected the fact that this film did its own thing, that it didn't just try and copy Blade Runner completely. Like, for example, by setting it all in the city and having it raining all the time, and basically have Ryan Gosling do the same thing that Deckard did in the first. This film actually does do its own story, which is quite an interesting continuation of the first film. So I did like that. But then, like, on the downside, a part would be sort of like, yeah, I would just like to have seen the original Blade Runner again. Like, because it was different.
All right.
I think it's just getting your head around the fact that this film is, like, a different film. Like, they did a lot different.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just going to be...
And you didn't like that.
You know, you get, like, some sequels, you'll see a sequel, and it's, like, so closely following what happened in the first film. Like with Die Hard or something, it's like the second film is essentially the plot of the first film again.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you've got to get your head around the fact that this is a whole new story and cast of characters.
I
think the fact that like they brought Harrison Ford back in this, a part of you is thinking, oh, Harrison Ford's going to be doing like his Blade Runner stuff again.
Obviously he's not in it that much.
Yeah, he's not. He's like doesn't come into it till like
2 hours in or something.
Yeah, to the latter half. So that was one of the things. The other like minor complaints I would have is it is quite slow and like very... thoughtful.
But,
like, it's not action-packed, but so was the first one.
See, like, the thing is, like, people are going... No, I'm not meaning, like, you're criticism of it, but, like, in general, people are going, like, it's not really been that popular. But, like, when I just ask people, you're maybe not that into movies, just, like, casual moviegoers or whatever, you know? they'll be like, oh, you seen Blade Runner? Like, well, I've not seen the first one.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that big. And it is quite a, it's quite a niche.
Well, I've seen a lot of people worried, like, this hasn't done well at the box office. But it is, like a cult film.
Yeah, neither did the original one. And the, like, Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner is a really dark, sad, you know.
This one,
it's
like,
quite a dark movie.
This one really shouldn't have been marked as a blockbuster. Because it's not, it's, like, quite an intelligent film. And it is, like, an art house movie in places where it's, like, very beautiful, slow shots and very thoughtful. And just letting you kind of linger on scenes and let you think about the ideas that it's presenting.
But I feel like so was the original. So I mean, maybe more so than this. But, like, that's the thing. And it's, like, that's probably what you're getting with this.
Yeah.
It's great that it is, because it's, like, it shows you the visuals. It shows you, like, it's not telling you everything and dialogue, it's like, look, it's there, just work it out.
Well, that was sort of, like, the biggest problem I had with this was that I didn't think it was as intelligent as other people seem to think it is, or even that it thought it was, because there was a lot of places where they would kind of go over the same things multiple times, even though they'd already given you a hint. Like, I just wanted more subtlety.
There was one bit where they had the voiceover of the character from before hinting at what was actually happening. I don't want it, but... Yeah, that's the only bit I can think of, but I mean, the original one's guilty of that as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like...
But I felt the original was more subtle, but maybe I'm misremembering. I suppose the original did have a lot of, like, they'd just sit down and explain what the plot was or the philosophy of it. But yeah, that's the main thing. I would just kind of... I would recommend the movie, definitely, but just with the caveat that it's not for everyone, and you do have to be prepared for, like... an experience more. It's just like living in that world for a few hours.
Yeah,
rather than kind of an action packed adventure, sci-fi adventure.
I do think if you're not into like noir sci-fi, then it's maybe not like that kind of detective science fiction mashup kind of thing. It's not, and it is for me. Like it wasn't. I've heard a lot of people complain about the pacing of it as well, but I think I loved that. I really. There isn't many movies that I go to, and I think...
There were just parts where, like, they could have moved on a bit. Like, you kind of got what they were doing, and then they lingered on it for like...
I really liked it. I mean, I'd love to see it again. I feel like it's one of those movies that I will get more out of it. Because I know there's stuff there that you're never going to get it right in the first go, like, everything they're going for, but I feel like...
Like, I'll probably watch it again, because now you know what's going to happen. Mm. You can enjoy the experience more. Because you're not trying to follow the plot as much, because you know it's like just experience what's going on. And probably there's a lot of also things in it where it's like there are like a lot of ideas at work, and they've obviously thought through scenes very carefully to like really emphasize what they're going for.
Well, I feel like the stuff with like Joy and Kay and how they're both similar and the way they're treated by people they're looked down on because they're.
That was one thing, like, their relationship plays kind of a pivotal role in the film. It's one of, like, the major things that's going through. But when I saw it anyway, you don't necessarily realise that when she's first on screen. So you're kind of watching that, waiting for, like, the actual story to get started. And then now I've seen it, you realise, like, oh, that was actually part of the main story or the main plot.
I feel like this, in many ways, like, pushes more, like, emotions... with, like, the relationships with, like, Joy and Kay and how, like, the replicants are treated, like, by other people. Like, Kay's very looked down on at his work as well. Like, people...
Oh, yeah.
Somebody thinks somebody spat on him and called him a skin job and his neighbours hate him. And, like, it's not very nice.
Yeah.
Doing what he's doing. And, you know, all the replicants he hunts down hates him, obviously, because he's retiring them.
Yeah.
He's still, like, a popular guy.
There is, like, that... Yeah, that really interesting thing there of, like, he's hunting down... beings who are basically the same as he is, so that's why he's kind of hated from both sides. But yeah, overall, like, highly recommended. Like, fantastic cinematography, great performances, a lot of, like, ideas, heavy sci-fi. And also, like, the fact that they expanded the universe. Like, you learn more about Blade Runners, about how, like, the police system works. Like, you said, the ecology.
Films about the police system.
Yeah. Just to know, like, a lot of... Yeah. Like, because in the original...
Ah, yeah, you see more of the department, you see more of what's going on behind the scenes kind of thing.
Yeah, here, because, like, they just expand the world a lot, and you see a lot of, like, how things work. And there are, like, a lot of nods to the original. Like, some small ones, and then some more major hints of, like... Mm. things that you'd remember from the original film.
Yeah, there's little bits where, like, the photograph, like, Kay's looking at the photograph and he's got the memory and stuff like that. Eating noodles. Everybody loves a noodle, though. It's just... And also, like, the stuff, like, the comparisons with, like, Jared Leto's Wallace character and the Terrell character. And how, like, how they treat their children.
Well, it was one of the interesting things of the film, that the villain in it is not, like, your pantomime villain. The same as, like, the Terrell Corporation in the original. Like, he wasn't really a bad guy. It was just that they had to hunt down replicants because the replicants had gone AWOL. Uh-huh. That's why they were hunting them down in the original. Yeah. In this, it's, like, Jared Leto's motivation is to sort of, like, move humanity forward to the next stage of evolution and have, like, replicants sort of become the next generation of humanity. But
is it, though? Because he's treating them pretty badly and killing them for his own...
Well, that's true. They are treating them as slaves. That's true.
But he is a pretty bad guy.
But then, underneath that, there's kind of an uprising of replicants. So it's like... There's the idea that, like,
revolution.
They'll eventually sort of take over from humans because they're better.
But I don't know if Jared Leto's intentions are entirely noble.
Well, I know he is the villain in it, but you can sort of understand where he's coming from. He's, like, the technologically minded, like, we have to do this for the future of expanding the
world. There's loads of, like, interesting stuff for, like, the rich and the poor as well, like, the way people are living in the slums and the massive pyramids and stuff from the original and things like that, and the owner slave kind of things like that. But it's really, and also, like, the performance is really good, I think, too. Yeah. I think it's, like, some of the toughest Harrison Ford stuff I've seen him do for a very long time, too.
Yeah.
For me, like, when he's wrestling all this, and as well, like, Ryan Gosling, when he's discovering more in his detective work.
Well, it kind of gives them a lot to work with, because there are a lot of ideas, and, like, their characters are going through sort of genuine... sort of existential crises. Yeah. So it's like a lot for them to kind of act out, which is really good. The other thing that I just recalled what I was going to say, they show you, there's a sequence that's quite important in the movie where somebody's making the memories for the replicants, and I like that, because you didn't get to see how they did that in the original. Mm. Like, they say they implant them with memories, but in this they kind of show you how that would work, which I liked.
So overall, I thoroughly loved it, and we'd probably go and see it at least another three times.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like it, but, like I say, you have to be aware that it is, like, a very thoughtful movie. It's not just, like, gun-toting, shooting down robots.
It's the same thing with the first one. If you're not going to like this very kind of bleak look at humanity's future.
Yeah.
The ecological
problems. Well, it's also, like, it ends on quite a down note as well. The whole thing has, like, a down tone because humanity's sort of, like, dying out almost.
Yeah.
It's sort of, like, a very dark, grim future.
But a very good night out and a very good watch.
Yeah. So that was our review of Blade Runner 2049. Remember to like and subscribe, and we'll be back again soon with another review.